talking through just some different thoughts and plans for 2011. The number of bases that we need to cover here. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, in the King James Version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We've spoken about that a number of times. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, there are two parts to that, almost proverb, if you may. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, what is vision? Vision is, if there's no clear picture of the future that God has placed on our hearts and direction that He is giving us, then the people perish. If it's not clear where God wants us to go, if it's not a clear sense of direction, a clear sense of call, then the people perish. What does the people perish mean? I've spoken about that often. Does it mean that they will physically die? My guess is no, because I think many people have lost vision as to where God wants them to go, but they're still alive. My guess is that He's referring to the consequences that happens in the hearts and the lives of the followers where there's no clear vision or direction to where God is calling them. What does the people perish mean? It means that their shoulders, their sense of excitement diminishes, their hope fades, their dream dies. They become mere participants and attendees. They don't have shining eyes anymore. You don't see hope. You don't see a sense of excitement around what lies around the corner. The pulse rate goes down. In a visionless life, some ugly things can happen. They can happen quickly. And in a visionless small group or church, some ugly things can happen too. And they can also happen quickly. People become restless and irritable. They become self-centered. I'm sure we've none of us have experienced this. They want all the resources of the church being used and focused on the already convinced, which is them. Things become burdensome and too much effort. Without a clear picture of where God is calling us to, we allow the affections of our heart to be captured by other things. Whether that be sport, whether that be a career, whether it be our own personal hobbies or dreams, or whether it is just sitting in front of DSTV or DVD every night, just watching TV while our spiritual gifts grow dormant and fade away. The people perish. Where there's no clear vision, the people perish. Little by little. More and more each week, each month, each year, until ultimately they are dead in regards to the things of God. How do we make sure that this doesn't happen to us? We need to make sure that we have a clear picture of where it is that God is calling us to. What does He want us to be? Who does He want us to be? For us as leaders, who does He want us to be? For us as small groups or Bible talks, who does He want us to be? I believe, if I read the scriptures, that God wants everyone to become a foreigner. Someone that will be in this world, but not of this world. Not just a disciple, that's where we begin. But they will move from becoming a young Christian, to a growing Christian, to a mature Christian, to be a foreigner. Someone who lives and dies, breathes, eats, sleeps, His kingdom, and is not self-denial to do so. Meaning, it is what they live for. It is what they want. It is where sin becomes less and less attractive and righteousness becomes more and more attractive. But it takes years, sometimes decades, to go there. But that's where we are heading. That's where we are moving. We're moving there through intimacy, community, and influence. Intimacy with God, community with one another, and by winning influence with outsiders. And it's being mission-minded and mission-orientated. Those are the things that help us become foreigners. Every time that we are in spiritual community, it helps us on the journey to becoming foreigners. Our intimacy with God helps us on that journey too. And how do we get there? Individually and collectively. I believe it's through teaching, training, directing, shepherding, and accountability. That everyone, whether you lead a small group, whether you lead a Bible group, everyone needs some form of teaching, training, directing, shepherding, and accountability. And the Bible puts that call on us. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, I know it's a scripture that we don't talk about often, and don't like to talk about. And certainly as a leader, I've never used it in a leadership setting as to regards with myself. But I'll read it to you anyway. It says, Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority." Question is why? "They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them, so their work will be a joy, not a burden, for they would be of no advantage to you." He says, why should we obey our leaders? Why should there be even a leadership structure? A spiritual leadership structure in God's kingdom, he says, because leaders, as leaders, We will be held accountable for the people under our care.
All right.
That's a shared responsibility. At the end of time, at the end of the day, it's not just going to be, oh, well, Mfundo, this brother did a bad job. It's all your fault. No, first of all, it is the brother's fault. He's responsible. But Mfundo shares in that responsibility and says, they keep watch over you as men who must give account. So as a small group leader, you will have to give an account. As a Bible group leader, you would have to give an account. As a ministry staff person, you will have to give an account. As a congregational evangelist, I would have to give an account as the sheep under my care. John chapter 10 talks about the good shepherd versus the hired hand. We spoke about that last year. That's what God has put into place, spiritual leadership, so that we can help one another towards that end. To move from becoming a Christian, growing Christian, mature Christian, foreigner. Okay? Now how do we utilize that? The end goal, becoming a foreigner, being all that we can for God, that is set in stone. But the plan as to how we get to that end goal, that is written in sand. And so every year what we need to do is we need to relook and say, here's where we're heading. We want to move from helping people, move from explorers to seekers, and we're going to speak about that gap at the midweek service. Then from seekers to young Christians, we know how to do that through the Bible studies. From young Christians to growing Christians, I think there's some holes there. And then from growing Christians to foreigners, okay? That's the part. That's the part that we want to go and that we want to take. But how we get there, we need to adjust from time to time. In other words, every year we, as a leadership team, try and relook things and say, what will work best and helping us move there? If the vision is clear, the people live. If the vision is fading, where there is no vision, the people perish. But with regards to the plan, what works? So this morning, I want to talk about what needs to be adjusted in our plan, canned, introduced, or resurrected. Okay? So those are the kind of things that we will constantly be going through every year. Is what needs to be adjusted? In other words, something that we are doing, do we need to adjust it? Is there something that we are doing that needs to be canned? Is there something that we are not doing that we should be doing that should be introduced? And is there something that we have historically done, killed, and it needs to be resurrected? So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In the past, I'm going to talk about what we've killed, what we're going to create. It will flow as we go. Historically, what we have done, and there's no right or wrong in any of these things. These are all different plans. Remember, the end goal, foreigner, that is the biblical goal. That's where we're heading. The plan as to how we get there can keep on changing. And we can't change it every week. Otherwise, we'll cause chaos. But we need to keep on adjusting. Historically, what we have done, which was fairly unique for us as a church organization, is that we organized our ministry mostly geographically. Meaning that the church was led in two, what we called regions, a north and a south. So the plan at that stage was do things geographically. Or demographically. Not geographically. What we want to do in this year is we want to make a switch from geographically to life focus. And create life focus ministries. Now, it will not make such a big difference really for every man on the street. The biggest change comes in the leadership of the congregation as a whole. So as by life focused ministries, what I mean is that we want to basically create or form, I think it's about four ministries. One ministry would be called family and youth. That ministry would be people with more or less kids of 8 years old and older would form part of the family and youth ministry. And that would be sort of entry level. Exit level would be the coffin. What I mean is that the empty nesters will also fall into the family and youth ministry. Okay? So from kids 8+ to empty nesters will form part of this ministry. Now again, as I'm going to explain these ministries, all these ministries remain intertwined. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if I'm a single, I'm also part of family ministry. But it will be led in a singles group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So group number one is family and youth, kids, age 8 and up. The second group is what we're calling at this stage, and again, all of this is work in progress, young families. The young family ministry. The young family ministry will start with young married couples and then go up to people with kids of plus minus the age of 8 or 7, if you may. Now there is no set and stone, oh boy man, your kid just turned out moo. Okay. Or there is no even someone might have a kid of 6 and be in the youth and family, or someone or the other way around. It's not set in stone. Okay, it's more or less groups. The third group, so that would be just married and the kids up to plus minus 6. The third group would be singles and campus. Okay? Now that's pretty evident. Singles and campus. Then the fourth group would be married, this is a bigger group, married to non-Christians, single moms, maybe widowers. Again, it is a bigger group that will form together. All four of these groups are intertwined into still what we call church and what we call family. Okay? But more or less, to be able to give clearer focus to each ministry, we've divided them into four. Okay? The family and youth ministry are going to be led by James and Laura. What they're going to be responsible for is certainly we want to help the families. But one of the key things in the families is that we want to help the children. And we want to catch them earlier. Meaning, James and Moore have been over the last 18 months or so, been working with the teen ministry. And what we realize is catching them as teens, it's not certainly not too late, but it's a lot easier if you can catch them earlier on. Okay? So we want to be able to catch them earlier on, but there is a process that works for them as we move from explorer to foreigner. We want the kids to be able to also move through something towards their teenage years, which again, that will unfold. We'll talk more about that in the future. Our young families, Lisa and myself will lead. Singles, Joel will lead. Married to non-Christians, single moms, what have you. What we're going to do there is that it's going to be divided into two groups, and that will be geographically. That would be living in the northern suburbs, southern suburbs. Northern suburbs. West? More. We know. Okay. Northern suburbs will be led by ICA, and I'm going to explain a little bit later on how that will be done. And then southern suburbs, I'm not sure. Have you spoken? Okay. We'll be Beryl Dean. Okay. I didn't want to surprise you right now. That's why I'll spend more of it. I guess the Beryl Dean is aware of that. So that will be led by those two ladies, singles and campus jog, young families, myself and Lisa, family ministry, Laura and James. Okay, again, I'll say that these are not rock solid clear lines where there can be no doubts. Okay, it will be flying through. One of the things that we're working on with the married to non-Christians is that we're trying to, although they will not necessarily form a part of a family and youth Bible tool, is to connect them to a family and youth Bible tool. That's what we're working towards. So that every group, whether it's married to non-Christians, whether it's widows, whether it's internet, that everyone will somehow be connected. Okay, that everyone will be part of the family. They might not be attending Bible, but when there's a social event, what have you, we want everyone to be connected, okay, to the family. So first move is life-focused ministry groups. The second adjustment would be the nature of small groups. I'm going to go through it all, then we're going to have a bit of time on Q&A and comments. Okay. Second would be the nature of small groups. To move from, as we've already started doing last year, but to move from support groups to foreigner development groups that, in a way, also support, and I'll explain more of that. If I say the nature of small group is to move to a foreigner development group, what I mean is that would actually be a group where you're taught, trained, directed, and where there is a sense of accountability. So the nature of the group is growth, not support. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, don't worry about support. There is a support function. We'll just get to that now. But that's not going to be the nature of small group.
Yeah.
So the nature of small group is going to move to teaching, training, directing, and accountability. So it is, you could call it a growth group, a foreigner development group.
Yeah.
I think we've all been in settings where one individual can hijack your small group. Okay, I don't know if that's ever happened to you. In other words, someone that has either had a tough moment or a tough week or a tough life, and then no one else gets to actually speak, or no one else gets to be able to do anything because the one person with a good intention and good heart basically takes over the group. No intention to do so, but it happens. So to be able to help people grow, this is going to be one series of Rachel Fathers has never failed is discipling relationships, where everyone is somehow connected, looked after, and shepherded within a small group. In other words, what you'll have, if I can give you an example, let's say a small group that I've been a part of. A small group that I've been a part of has got Peter. It's Peter, Stan, and Barton. Okay? Now what's going to happen is they'll be in a small group. It would be Stan. It would be Barton. And they'll form a small group, but Peter and Rizan would actually be in a discipling relationship with Stan and Stephanie and with Barak and Kwebi. And they will be in a discipling relationship with person X and person Y. Okay? And so this would form a big small group / Bible talk. It's all dependent on size. So what we want to do is resurrect discipling. What is the nature of that discipling? The nature of the discipling is 71 support. Meaning that is a time where you can talk. Not that you can't talk in a small group. You guys understand what I'm saying. Now this is here. Here's what we're going through in our marriage. Here's what's happening in my life. Here are the challenges that I'm facing. I need help. Now certainly it can also be teaching, training, what have you. But it's an element where you can talk. And it's worked out between you and your discipling partner. In other words, we're not going to be prescriptive as to do you get here every week, every second week, every third week, every fourth week. You need to figure it out. Okay, I would suggest get together. But you need to figure out what is it's different maturities, different things. Okay, but for people to be able to get together. Yeah. What discipling does, and what we've seen that we've lost to moving away from it, is obviously is keeping people connected and actually knowing for us as a leadership group where we're responsible for shepherding the whole congregation, what's going on. We have on average at our midweek services 80 people that don't come to midweek. Okay? It's almost a third of our membership. 80 people don't come to midweek. As a leadership team, we have no idea who these people are. So how do we shepherd them to help? Well, we don't even know who they are. And part of the reason is because there's no clear accountability structure throughout the church. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
There's no sense of, okay, well, I'm actually responsible for the bit. In a small group setting, I think what can happen, this is a very small group like that, but it's everyone thinks everyone's okay. But Peter actually needs to feel responsible for these two fellows. Yeah. Okay? And look out for them. And Peter, if you know, I think there's a group of five, how difficult is it at midweek service for Peter to say, oh boy, Stan's not here. I hope he's okay. Let me give him a call. Mm-hmm. Oh, Stan is sick. Oh, Stan's out of town. Stan, what have you. But now he's connected. And Peter can then talk to the person discipling him, or in his discipling group, and can talk again and say, well, I'm a little bit concerned here. How can we help this individual? But at this stage, we feel like our hands are cut off. That we count the people. Literally, every midweek and every Sunday, we count. And then I go home and I realize, boy, we had 180 people in church. We have 272 members. 80 or 90 people were missing. Who are they? And how are they doing? And then suddenly what we hear from our side is we are 6 months down the line. Oh, so-and-so is not been coming to church in 6 months. What should I do? It's too late to ask. Okay. You should have asked this in the beginning. When the problem started. So discipling enables us to have support plus accountability. Yeah. The fourth thing that we want to introduce, and James and I have started this towards the end of last year in some capacity, is what we call ministry training groups. Okay. Now the ministry training groups is how do we train the small group leaders and Bible talk leaders? That's going to happen in several ways. One will be through this meeting on a Sunday, first Sunday every month, as we've always done. Two, to build a bit of speed, meaning there's a couple of things that I'm busy working on a curriculum for us. To build a bit of speed, what we might have is every now and then have a Saturday workshop that's a little bit longer so that we can get more of this stuff done. But it's to be able to train. The third thing in that we're going to do is through, I don't know how many numbers, but we want to move from, if I can use the terminology, a small group leader and a small group leader in training. A Bible talk leader and a Bible talk leader in training. Two different things. Meaning, for me to be able to be a full-fledged Bible talk leader, one is I must have gone through the training curriculum, Two, what we've looked at last year, what is a trained Bible leader? Someone that's able to effectively convert a soul and train someone, build family, and engage people on the mission. I don't know if that rings a bell. Okay? But that is a trained Bible talk leader. So where we want to move to is to be able to gain clarity and say, well, am I a trained Bible talk leader, or am I a Bible talk leader in training? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Ideal is, obviously, that every Bible talk leader in training would be under the wing of a trained Bible talk leader. I don't think we have enough trained Bible talk leaders to actually do so. So you might be leading a full-fledged Bible talk, but you're actually a Bible talk leader in training. Yeah. Until you get your stamp. Okay? Through this curriculum, and I'll explain more about this on Wednesday night as well, is we even want to end up in a place where you get a passport. It's called a foreigner passport. And as you get trained, because we're going to take the church through training as well. In other words, we're going to do follow-up studies and then to growing Christian studies through a period that as you finish each curriculum and we can write tests on these things, you get a stamp. In other words, I've been stamped as a trained young Christian, and I've been, and eventually there's going to be a day where you're going to get the foreigner stamp. Okay, where people in your life can vouch for you. It's not your own stamp. Yeah. Where people in your life can vouch for you, where you've been stamped a foreigner. You can carry your foreigner passport, but hold on to it tightly and with humility, because it might just be taken away. Okay? But with the training, what we're then going to do is we're going to create ministry training groups that will meet every 2 weeks. This ministry training group will then work, and the 2 weeks again is flexible. These are more or less ideas. We'll work in the life focus ministry. In other words, there'll be a ministry training group for family and youth, ministry training group for young families, ministry training group for singles on campus, and ministry training group for married to non-Christians, single moms, whatever. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, each small group leader will not be in a ministry training group, but you will either be in a ministry training group or discipled by someone who is in a ministry training group. So ultimately, everyone in this room is somehow connected to a ministry training group. These ministry training groups, again, many of the people in this room know partly of what I'm speaking about. We've obviously spoken to many people, consulted many people, asked many people, what have you, as we know, unrolling the plans. But some of these ministry groups will actually already be meeting next weekend. But we'll talk on the phone. Number five, we're going to work in a 2-week ministry cycle, okay, with these ministry training groups. Now again, some of the more mature men have been a part of these groups. Greg Boer, Eric has been part of it, Nick has been part of it, Greg Doyle. Some of the young guys have sort of, we have come in the back of that, Fundo Job, a couple of guys. What we do is, in our training group that we have every 2 weeks, we look at a 2-week ministry plan. Okay, the 2-week ministry plan, again, the detail of this will unfold in time, but I'm just going to give you the headlines. The 2-week ministry cycle basically looks something like this. You'll talk about the small group meeting plan. In other words, what is the plan for small group? Because we're heading in the same direction, the whole church. Because remember, small group is now a training, teaching, development group with accountability. So in that 2-week ministry cycle, we'll be talking about where we're heading with small group, either for those 2 weeks or the next 3 months, if you might. In those 2-week groups, we'll talk about the movement of Bible studies. In other words, how can we be helping you? How can we move people through the Bible studies, and not just do the Bible studies, but help them obviously develop a heart? What we've been doing on a staff level for a couple of months is talk about who's involved in the Bible study, who are we training through the Bible study, who is reaching out to someone in the Bible study. What I mean by that, and I've mentioned this in previous meetings, is let's say I'm studying the Bible with Joe, and David and Mike is in my small group. We'll be talking about who is reaching out socially to Joe. Is it David? Who will be praying in my Bible talk with Joe? Is it Mike? We want to be very intentional with helping people, okay, and growing them, and again, connecting them. Those are the kind of things that will be discussed in that 2-week ministry cycle. The important discipling training conversations. In other words, what you'll say is this, because you'll set your own objectives as a small group leader. Over the next 2 weeks, here's the ministry that I want to see happen. Now, the volume of ministry will differ between a single, and Mike always gets picked on, and Mike. Man! Give it away. He guys understand what will be different between a single and a campus student, what will be different between someone with young kids, older kids, or someone who doesn't have kids. But this small group leader would lead them and say, over the next 2 weeks, here's the time that I have available. Over the next 2 weeks, here's what I want to see happen. Again, I'm a small group leader. These guys are in my small group. So, over the next 2 weeks, what I want to see happening is I want to talk to Jock about him and Lisa and some things that I've noticed. You guys want to talk about it now? Okay, but I'm intentional. In other words, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So I know, because life just goes by. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But for me, it just goes by, and I wanted to talk to Jock, and I wanted to talk to Jock, but actually being intentional. So I've got 20 issues that I need to tackle. Which are the most important ones? Most important one right now would be Jock, and then marriage. Number two is, the vet is a Bible study, and he is the more open-hearted guy. We want to be able to do 3 Bible studies with him in the next week. So that's on my planning thing. And then Mike, I'm actually training. I'm training him to be the next small group leader. So I want to have a good talk with him about the Bible study that we've done with Jock to make sure that he's learning through the experience.
Yeah.
So my 2-week plan, I'm actually noting this. So this is what I want to see happening in the next 2 weeks. I want to see this conversation take place. I want to move these 3 Bible studies, and I want to make sure that he's included in this, and that we are having the follow-up conversations that we need to, so that I can train him to be the next small group leader. But it works in a 2-week cycle. 1 week is too short. Okay. It might happen that for some you might even have to extend it to 3 or 4 weeks, but we want to start off with, again, generically, more or less, a 2-week ministry cycle. Number 6 is, what we want to create is need-based evangelistic opportunities. What is that? That is the marriage workshop and parenting workshop. We want to have alternating months, marriage workshop, parenting workshop, marriage workshop, parenting workshop, marriage workshop, parenting workshop. We say needs-based evangelistic opportunities because everyone needs help in their marriage. And everyone needs help in their parenting. And people do not necessarily want God right now, nor do they necessarily want to come to church right now, but they realize I need help in my marriage. So it is a need-based evangelistic opportunity. It is easy to reach out to someone and say, hey, don't you want to join us for a marriage workshop? Don't you want to join us for a parenting workshop? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The singles are talking and trying to help them with what that would be for them. Very single sort of opportunity. I don't know yet. Are they going to have that? Have alternating months, single parties, whatever? But we want it to be spiritually based, so party is not going to. Meaning that we want it to be something where there's an idea that we're talking about change when I invite you.
Yeah.
When I just invite you to a party, nothing wrong of doing that, but it's not necessarily God-focused. If I say I'm inviting you to a workshop, the Bible will be open at that workshop. You won't feel like you're at church, but the Bible will be open. Yeah. Does it make sense? So it's more spiritually minded, it's clear. Again, that will evolve. But so number 6 is need-based evangelistic opportunity. Final one, number 7, BBU, back to the basics update. What I want to do is for every small group leader to, through those ministry channels, in other words, family, youth, James and Laura, young families, Lisa and myself, campus and singles job, married to non-Christians and single moms would be Beryl, Dean and Ike, to have every Sunday a back to the basics update. What is the back to the basics update? It was, who was missing this week from any meeting of the body? Meaning midweek, bowels of small group, Sunday service. Who was missing? And two, who was visiting anything this week? Meaning Bible talk, church, maybe a small group visitor, I don't know. But who was visiting? Just those 2 things at this stage. So back to the basics, for us to be able to figure out, one, who's missing? And is it someone sick and we need to attend it? Because we hear things. We hear about people being in hospital 3 months down the line when they're already out of hospital. we hear about people losing relatives when their relative is already buried. Okay? We don't know about it. Then people come to us and say, geez, you didn't even give me a phone call or what have you. I didn't even know that it happened. Okay? The only way that we can know that it happened is if we're connected. Okay? And if we have a weekly update, a back to the basics update, so and so was missing because they actually had a funeral. We don't know it.
Yeah.
That's one. Number 2 is with people visiting. We had on the 16th of January on a mission weekend, which I personally thought was a rocking weekend. We had on that Sunday over 150 people visiting. Who are they? We don't know. Now, it dropped the next Sunday by 80. Okay? So after 150, 80 didn't come again. Maybe it was James' announcement. So what did James do that day?
I sang in the crowd.
Okay? But you guys see what I'm saying? For us to shepherd the group, we are saying, everyone said, I need someone to study the Bible. I want to study the Bible. There were 150 people at our service, but we have no idea who they were. No idea. Now, obviously, we meet some people in the fellowship, what have you, but we have no accountability structure as to who actually came and what actually happened to them. Are they somehow connected to the fellowship? And therefore, we want to have on every Sunday a back to the basics update with a ministry group leader. Any of your family and you, if you don't know tomorrow, young families, Belisa, myself, singles, Joe, married non-Christians, and single moms would be Geraldine, Southern Suburbs, Ica, Northern Suburbs. Okay? These are things that we are praying through and evolving. None of them are set in stone. This one is pretty much set though. This is evolving. This is going to happen. Okay? Evolving. 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 But these things are going to be evolving and happening, and we will talk through them, because again, this group is too big to interact with. As you might know, everyone here has a thought or an opinion. We might be here for 6 months. So that's why we also have the ministry training groups, and if you're not in a ministry training group, you'll be discipled by someone who is, so again, it keeps everyone connected. But we want to ask you, please, be praying for these different things. And please be praying as it unfolds, because many people have been spoken to about this. There are actually few changes, meaning the biggest changes, historically, we didn't have focused ministries from a staff point of view, meaning that the ministry that I would receive would have everybody in it. So we couldn't build an identity, because I'm trying to build an identity with everybody. We couldn't build a family and youth identity, because we have family and youth, we have young families, we have young marriage, with this, with that, with that. We're trying to help groups build identity. So that's the biggest change. Some of the Bible talks have changed, okay? If you've not heard of that change, then you're not influenced by that change. Okay, as yet. Maybe you'll still get a surprise in the next week or so. These things inevitably happen. But the idea is going to be that on the 14th of February, if there has been a change in your group, that Monday will be in new groups. Again, if you've not heard of that change right now, it's not affecting you. Or you might be the surprise. But very few of us will briefly be the surprise. Amen. Well, what I'm going to do, I know it's a lot said. We're going to take 10 minutes or so for comments or questions and things to consider. What we're going to do is we're not going to be answering those things right now. We're going to take all of them down to be able to consider a talk through what have you. Talk about it with different people and then give feedback on those things, the ones that are influenced in our ministry training groups. Amen. And Steve's going to be writing down those things.